Well, we have been, for those of you who have not been with us the last couple of weeks, we've been in the middle of a series on sacrifice. And the underlying belief that I have in this entire series is that if we want to grow closer to Jesus, the way to do that is sacrifice. And so we talked for a couple of weeks about what sacrifice is all about and what it looks like and how it works. I shared one of those weeks, and Nate, one of our small group leaders, shared one of those weeks. And so then last week we got really practical in one area of sacrifice that I think is always complicated for us as Americans, and that's the area of finances. This week we are going to get into another practical area of sacrifice that I think is maybe even more complicated than finances. And so I'm incredibly excited because I think that there are certain topics that if we will allow Jesus to invite us to a higher level of surrender and obedience, we are able to find greater freedom and greater hope and greater joy than in any other way. And so tonight, as we dive into this topic, I want you to know that I think that this particular specific topic has the ability for some of us to release us to a whole new level of living that God is excited about. And that topic is the topic of forgiveness, sacrificing through forgiveness. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And whenever I think about forgiveness, I think about the same story. And so over the last couple of years, if you've heard me talk about forgiveness, you've heard me begin to tell this story, and the story just keeps getting better. And so every time we talk about forgiveness, I come back to it. And it's the story of a guy that I know quite well. He's one of my best friends. He lives out on the other side of the country. I formally have his permission to tell this story because it's a really powerful part of what God has done in his life. And it jumped back into my life just 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I was on the phone with my buddy, whose name also happens to be Josh. And so I always feel like whenever I tell a story about him that I'm talking about like my invisible friend or something, or my like alter ego. But I promise he's a real person. And I was talking to him and he said, you know, if there is anything in my life I would have never expected, it's that I would be able to say the thing I'm about to say. And that is that I just spent the entire weekend with my stepdad, and it was one of the best weekends I have had in my entire year. And I said, that is so cool. And knowing the whole story is what makes it amazing. And the story of him and his stepdad starts when he was a kid. Before he was even a teenager, his mom married this guy, and the guy was a jerk. He was abusive, and he was mean, and he was just, he rapped like, anybody know somebody who would justify anything with like crazy religious talk? And he was like one of those people, and so like the people we pray every day that East Coast International Church never becomes, right? And so he was like that, and over the years, like, my buddy just said, I want nothing to do with you. I want nothing to do with you. I can't handle this. He really set some really healthy boundaries with this guy who was incapable of having a relationship inside of healthy boundaries. And so the boundary had to be, well, if you can't have a relationship with me inside of healthy boundaries, then we can't have a relationship. So please don't call me, don't text me, don't write to me, don't message me, don't anything. And so I remember this moment probably 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when my buddy got a letter from his stepdad. And the letter said something that he'd never said before. He had tried every possible way to get back in my buddy's life. He had like tried to manipulate, he tried to command, he tried to beg, he tried to plead, he tried everything. And then there was this long period of silence. And then there came this moment where he sent a very simple letter to my buddy, and it said, I just want you to know I have had a change of heart. I have come to realize that I have done incredible damage in your life. I want you to know I have no right to have a relationship with you, but I am deeply regretful, and I would love to have a relationship with you, but I know that I have burnt that bridge. So please know that I just don't want to be a jerk. I have abused my right even to ask for that relationship in the past. And so I am leaving the ball in your court. If you ever, in any way, shape, or form, want a relationship with me, I am here and I am ready, and I will do whatever I can to earn the right to have a relationship with you, but I need to respect you enough to leave the ball in your court. And my buddy got the letter and he said, well, that's good. I never have to talk to him again. Thank goodness. I'm sick of him. And I remember having this conversation with him where I said, I get that. That makes sense to me. But are you open to forgiving him? Not saying, will you forgive him right now? Because that's a different question. Just, are you open to the thought that possibly someday in some alternate reality, you might possibly conceive of the idea of being willing to forgive him? And he said, I will do what I can. And he didn't talk to him for like a year and a half, 2 years, really long time. And over that time, his stepdad proved himself by not getting in touch with him. He did what he said he was going to do. And year and a half goes by, 2 years, whatever it was, a long time. My buddy had a change of heart, very slowly, over a lot of time and through a lot of work. And over the course of, from that moment, there came a moment where he reached out to his stepdad and said, here's the thing, I'm open to exploring a relationship with you, but I am going to put the tightest boundaries on it you can possibly imagine. And he essentially said to his stepdad, now you ruined this. So you've got to earn it. And his stepdad said, you are 100% right. I ruined this. I've got to earn it. Just tell me what I got to do. And over the course of years, through very careful application of healthy boundaries, the relationship grew and grew. And what's fascinating to me is now the stepdad is the most important person in his family to him. And he had said to me, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I had the greatest weekend ever with my stepdad after his stepdad had taken the whole family camping for the weekend and paid for everything and just said, I want to invest in you and your family. And so a couple times a year, we just want to take you away and bless you and have a good time. And you won't have to pay from the minute you see me to the minute you leave. You're not going to pay for a thing. Awesome. Awesome. Now, a couple things we know. Number one, we know that every story about forgiveness does not end that way. Doesn't always end that way because the problem, and we'll talk about this a little tonight, the problem with forgiveness is that forgiveness requires two people on some level, right? Forgiveness deals with the fact that there is a broken relationship, broken trust, harm done between two people, and of those two people, you only have control over one of them. And so we want to be honest tonight about the fact that there are responsibilities we have no matter what the other person does, but there are also healthy choices we need to make based on what the other person does. Do you see the difference there? Healthy responsibilities we have to do regardless of what the other person does, but also healthy responsibilities we have based on what the other person does. We want to talk tonight about forgiveness. Because I suspect every one of us has things in our lives that we need to forgive. But before we do that, I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And while you're looking up Luke chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 3. We are going to talk about tonight this idea of forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. Forgiveness. All right. I need you to help me out with one thing before we do, though. How sometimes when I'm talking, people have questions or something like that, and they'll text me their questions, and then later on I'll check my phone and I'll get all these questions, and this is very helpful. I actually really like this. So most weeks, I would love to have you text me in the middle of when I'm talking if there's something you have questions about or wondering about or feel like I didn't cover quite in detail enough. Almost every week people do this. This week, however, if you will look to the back, you will notice there is no clock. And so in order to have a clock, I have my phone here. And so some of you are already thinking, I'm going to mess with you right now, and I'm just going to, please do not text me, all right, for the next 45 minutes. There used to be, for those of you who were in Wednesday nights when we first bought this building, it was a guaranteed fact. Every single Wednesday night, I would be in the middle of teaching, and somebody would text me in the middle of me teaching to let me know that they weren't going to be there. I never understood how this was helpful. I just never did, but literally, thank you very much, whoever just texted me. I can see my phone buzzing. I am not looking. Pastor Roy. I just don't even know where to go anymore. All right. Well, now I have a very specific example of forgiveness that I need to work my way through. That's what we'll talk about tonight. You're in Luke chapter 17. I want to read to you verses 3 through 6. This is one of the great places where Jesus talks about forgiveness. And here's what it says. It says, if another believer sins, that is, if someone who's following Jesus the same way you're following Jesus, sins, rebuke that person. Then, if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day, and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. The apostle said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. I love that. I had never noticed this before. He talks about forgiveness, and their immediate response is, I desperately need more faith. Anybody ever think that that is a good response to need, like talking about forgiveness? Jesus, I'm going to need some serious help with this one. So they said, the apostles, his immediate followers there, said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. And the Lord answers, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Simply put, it doesn't take a lot of faith, guys. You have enough faith. You can, in fact, forgive. This is something you are capable of doing. We just have to practice. So I want to make a couple of points about this. First of all, we're in the middle of this series about sacrifice, and I want to make sure we've talked about, before we jump into the specifics of what forgiveness is all about, why are we talking about forgiveness in the middle of a series on sacrifice? And here's why. Because sacrifice, as I've said to you on several nights of this series, sacrifice is giving up something less for something more. Giving up something less for something more. Several of you may have noticed on Instagram that I introduced my children to Monopoly this week, and half of you were very excited and wished you got to play Monopoly. The other half of you texted me angry texts that I would like cause my children to suffer through the game of Monopoly. And my wife commented on this. And by the way, I have never had more likes on any picture I've ever posted on any social media than about Monopoly. You guys had a very strong response to Monopoly, which I think is awesome. But my kids learning Monopoly were learning how to make trades. And at one point, there was a property that I wanted that one of my kids had. My son said, if you'll just give me like $5, I'll give you this, because he was trying to be nice. And I was like, no, this is not how it works. You need to make it worth it. Don't trade it unless it's worth it. And we went on about that. And sacrifice requires that what you get makes giving up what you're giving up worth it. Does this make sense? It's just suffering if there's no benefit, if there's no value, if there's no increase in your life as a result of it. We're not talking about suffering. We can do that series another time. We're talking about sacrifice. Sacrifice is giving up something less for something more. When we talk about forgiveness, we are not talking about those moments, and all of us have had them this week, where if we could be honest with somebody, if we could be completely transparent, something offended us, and to be honest, we just needed to have a little bit of a thicker skin. Have you ever had that moment where you got like super frustrated at something? You were like totally offended in the moment, and then afterwards you look back and you're like, man, I kind of blew that out of proportion. Is it just me, or has anybody else had that response? Like, thank you to those of you who are honest. I'm implying something about the rest of you. We are not talking about those moments here tonight. We're not talking about the moments where it was clearly a miscommunication. Nobody's at fault. We just need to like give grace to one another and move on. We're not talking about the moments where we just need to have a thick skin, accept the fact that it turns out nobody in the world is perfect. If we could just be honest about that and accept it, a lot of things wouldn't bother us anymore. We're not talking about those things. There are little things that happen every day. Somebody doesn't drive right, or somebody doesn't act exactly the way you'd like, or whatever it is. We're not talking about that. Moments when, if we were honest, we just need to be a little more thick-skinned. We are talking about real offenses, real wrongs, things that have happened in your life about which you may actually have a right to hold a grudge. You may actually have a right to be angry forever. It is appropriate for you to be offended. It is appropriate for you to call what happened a wrongdoing. You know, one of the things that I stop people on all the time, every once in a while, this happened just this last week. I misscheduled something. I was supposed to meet with somebody, and I messed it up and didn't show up to the meeting, and so I had to call them and say, hey, I'm sorry about that. And when I said, hey, I'm sorry about that, you showed up to the church with, like, ready to go, and I wasn't even there. That's not appropriate. And the response I got was, you know what, it's okay. To which my response 100% of the time is, no, it's not. It's not okay for me to waste your time. That's not okay. It's forgivable, but it's not okay. It's not like, you know what, yeah, let's just have that happen all the time. Right? Like, you know what, let's make that the norm. Right? Like, this is, that phrase, it's okay, drives me nuts because we're pretending that an offense didn't happen. Let's call an offense, and then move on. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Now, that really might have been, the person was not on any level offended. And if they had, it might have needed to be like a thick skin moment. Whatever, it wasn't that big a deal. But most of you, if not all of us, have had far more offensive things done to us than that. But what we're talking about here are things that we need to call it an offense. Call the fact that somebody has done harm to us. That we aren't being Christian by saying, it's okay. That's not the Christian response. Notice this. Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus ever say, if you are going to be my follower, you just need to pretend it never happened. Right? Like, this is not a thing in the Bible. The Bible never tells you to fake it. But it does tell us to forgive. And so I want to just walk through some specific principles. This is only one of lots of places in the Bible that talk about forgiveness, and it doesn't tell us how to deal with every single situation. It tells us how to deal with certain circumstances, and I think there's a lot we can learn from those. And so I want to just walk through what this one passage, this one saying of Jesus tells us about forgiveness. And really, I want to talk about three things. First of all, I want to talk about this one really complicated word that it says at the beginning. It says, if another believer sins, rebuke that person. When I picture starting a conversation that is a rebuke conversation, like, what do you picture? Don't actually shout it out, but, like, get a picture in your head for a moment. I picture saying to somebody, you are an idiot, right? Like, you are such a moron. I cannot believe what a stupid thing you just did. Sometimes that's what we think rebuke is all about, and it's not, sorry. When the Bible, this is like a complicated word that has lots of emotional connotations for us. When the Bible talks about rebuke, what it really means is let's be honest about where blame lies. Let's be honest about, let's get the thing out in the open. So I said a moment ago, there's some things that we just need to be a little more thick-skinned about. When it's not that, the Bible's first teaching point here is, let's just get it out in the open. Like, let's not hide it. Let's not stuff it. Let's not pretend about it. Let's get it out in the open and have a real conversation about it. If. Always pay attention to ifs in the Bible because they matter. There's two ifs in this couple of sentences, and they're both really, really important. The first one is, if another believer sins. If someone else who is following Jesus, first of all, do you know what this means? It means that if you spend enough time around other people who are following Jesus, somebody is going to hurt you, and they are also going to be followers of Jesus. Isn't that encouraging? Because, like, they're human too, right? The other implication of this is that if you spend enough time around other followers of Jesus, you are going to hurt one of them. It's just going to happen, I promise. Because you're not perfect and they're not perfect. There's a lot of not perfect people. And then there's some liars. And that's really all there are in the church. And that's, so we're going to hurt each other. And so the Bible gives us very clear details about what to do. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Rebuke them. What does rebuke mean? It doesn't mean yell at them. I heard how many of you went to Lead Retreat? Lead Retreat. Craig Rochelle made this great comment about feedback, and rebuking is a kind of feedback. And he said, if you're giving feedback, you need to talk not about who, but about what. So it's not you're a failure, you're a jerk, you did this. It's this happened, and it hurt my feelings. Do you see the difference there? I'm not going to talk about you. I'm going to talk about a situation. I'm not going to make statements about who you are or what you're all about or what you're like. I'm just going to talk about the situation. And then if I need to, I can talk about me too. But I'm going to talk about it and me, not you. It's what, not who. Rebuke has to do with that. Can we get out in the open what really happened and what I perceive to have happened? First of all, can we also be honest about the fact that when we say what happened, we really mean what I think happened? Like, there's a difference there. What I think happened. I have seen more moments, at least in my life, where I was offended because I misunderstood something than almost any other reason. We are so fallible in the way we listen. We are so fallible in the way we speak. We are so fallible that we need to be, this is why getting it out in the open is a really important thing, because you can get it out in the open and then the other person goes, that is not what I meant. I am so sorry. Man, yeah, if somebody said that to me, I'd be offended too. It's not at all what I meant. Right? So we get it out in the open. We say, this is what happened and this is how I feel about it. Get it out. Be honest about where blame lies. See how different this is from, you know what, it's okay. This is not, it's okay. But the other implication here, just obviously, if it's a believer, let's get it out in the open. If somebody is not actively following Jesus, do you need to go to them and like get it out in the open? Is that going to help? Probably not. Right? Like, if somebody's not following Jesus, you got like a 50-50 shot whether they're going to care whether they hurt you. You have a 50-50 shot whether they're going to agree it was inappropriate, even if you don't have the same basic set of rules in life, then you really can't have the conversation about what happened sometimes. And so this passage, just to be very clear, is not saying every person in your life, whoever offends you, make sure you have it out with them. It is specifically saying when it's somebody else who's following Jesus, make sure you have the conversation. Let's get right with one another. And then, I love this, the second if. The first if is, if another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then, if there is repentance, forgive. This is a very confusing teaching on forgiveness right here. Because how many of you are under the impression that like you're supposed to forgive all the time? Like, that sounds kind of Jesus-y to, like, always forgive, right? Like, and yet here's this verse that's like, if they repent, forgive. And I looked up some of the other places in the Bible where it says to always forgive. And I was so excited. Because in most of those other places where it talks about kind of universally forgiving, it's a completely different word in the original language. And so I got all excited because I looked into that word. I was like, okay, good. This is going to like really change the meaning of these two passages because it's two completely different words and we're just missing this. And sometimes when you translate from one language to another, sometimes you do miss stuff and that's okay. And so being able to compare and go back and find out what those words in the original language that it was written in can be very, very helpful. And so I literally spent like an hour today looking into this and doing a lot of really good study. And I was so excited and I started developing all of these like hypotheses about how like the difference between the words. And the more I studied, they really mean the exact same thing. I was very disappointed. They really both have like the sense of like forgiving. And so that was kind of disappointing because I really thought I was going to have something there. But as I wrestled with this, I think we all know from common sense that there is a universal aspect to forgiveness and a conditional aspect to forgiveness. There's one part of forgiveness that we have to do no matter what. And there's one part of forgiveness that we can't do unless the other person participates. And so here's what I think. Here's what I think this is all about. I think we all know that I can release, if you offend me, I can release you whether or not you're repentant or not. Regardless of how you act after the fact, regardless of whether you ever talk to me again, regardless of what happens to you, regardless of whether I see you again every day or never see you again, or whether you offend me again or don't sin against me again or whatever, I can release you in my heart. I can get over that point. Has anybody been so hurt, frustrated, or offended by something that, like, in the shower you were daydreaming about what you wanted to say or do to that person? Right, like, or right before bed, or like all day, right? Like, it doesn't take the other person to release that. That, what we would call emotional baggage, I don't need the other person to release the emotional baggage in my life. I may need a therapist. I may need good friends. And I may need time, but I do not need their help. It is entirely dependent on my commitment to moving forward. I'm not saying it's easy, because it's not. I'm not saying that it's instant, because for sure it's not. But I am saying that the power to release that kind of forgiveness, the kind that has to do with the emotional baggage within me, the power to do that is given to me by God, and I can do it no matter what. I am capable. You, as a follower of Jesus, are capable of that kind of forgiveness. That part of forgiveness is universal. We always are kind of expected to do that by God. Not kind of. We are commanded to do that by God. As a matter of fact, the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, hits on this idea when it says, forgive me as I have forgiven, right? The standard by which we expect God to forgive us is how we forgive others. But then there's this conditional part. One of the underlying meanings of forgiveness really is that there's it was a contractual word back in the day. It really meant there was a change in contract. And it was the opposite of pretending it didn't happen. Forgiveness really has to do with acknowledging something did happen, acknowledging that we are both now here in a different situation, and acknowledging that if we're going to move on from this point, things are going to be different. It's not that we're not going to talk, it's not that whatever it means, but it's going to be different because something happened. Forgiveness inherently has to do with amends, right? It has to do with a situation that requires healing and restoration. And if we are going to change the terms of relationship together as part of forgiveness, that is a two-person job. I can't do that on my own amongst two people. You can't do that on your own with two people. And that is the conditional part of forgiveness. I can release the emotional baggage. I can heal from the emotional baggage in my life, but I can't restore the relationship with you if you're unwilling to do that. I can get healthy without you. But if you are not willing to get healthy, we can't move forward. Does that make sense? For example, I have, as some of you know, we've been doing this big project in the back front of my house that I keep talking about every Wednesday because I'm sick of it. Really, really sick of it. But the reason it got complicated is because we paid a contractor to do a bunch of work and he walked off with our money and still has our money and didn't do anything. And so there we are, stuck in a situation that requires, forgiveness. Money too, but forgiveness was the one I was going for based on our theme tonight. So let me back up and we're going to do that again. So I'm stuck in this situation that requires forgiveness. Exactly, that's what I was hoping you'd say. But And there is this universal element of forgiveness that I don't need this guy's help to do. I don't need him. He literally disappeared. I have called him multiple times. I have texted him multiple times. I have written to him. I have emailed him. I have Facebook messaged him. I have done everything I could to get in touch with him. He disappeared. But you know what? When that first happened, I was super frustrated and super overwhelmed and super aggravated. And there literally were days when I was like daydreaming about what I wanted to say to this guy. Right? Like legit. That's why I used that example before, because that's exactly how my brain works. I'm like, this is. Because I don't. That's not cool. But you know what? I don't need his help to move past that. I can never see him again, and I can. At this point, I have gotten to a point where I have forgiven him. I have moved past the emotional junk. I have released that through conversations and journaling and praying and all of those kinds of things. I've released that. I'm not. No day in the last couple of weeks have I woke up frustrated with him, gone to bed frustrated with him, or when I was quiet in the stillness of my heart, did frustration with him like kind of bubble up. I'm past that. That's the universal element of forgiveness I don't need his help on. But there is a very specific relational part of forgiveness that I can't do without him. That requires acknowledgement of the situation we're in. So can you imagine for a moment if I ran into him 5 years from now, nothing had changed. I never got my money back. We never talked again. I ran into him 5 years from now. I was like, hey, you know, I have this job at my house. Would you be interested in doing it? What would that make me? Stupid, right? Would that make me a good Christian because I was trusting he had changed? No, that would just make me dumb. Like, sometimes we need to make sure we get the difference. There are things that make us good followers of Jesus and other things that make us stupid, and they're just not the same. You can write that down. That was important. Seriously, though, that was important. But, you know, like, really, if I did that, if 6 months from now I was like, yeah, I ran into that guy, and it's so good because he said he's doing better now, and so I asked him to do this job. If I ask him to do a job in 6 months from now, what's going to happen to my money? It's gone. Yeah, it's gone. It's done, right? Now, I forgave him. I'm still going to show up in court on November 2nd, I'll tell you that right now. Not because I'm mad, not because I'm angry, but because the situation needs to be fixed, right? Like, restoration has to be done, not just for my financial sake, but for his sake. Like, it needs to be dealt with. And that, if he decides not to show up to court, if he decides to whatever happens after that, if he, like, I don't know, I really don't know what happens after that. But if that happens, I may not get my money back. Whatever. But he and I will have a broken relationship until that gets fixed. Does that make sense? There are parts of forgiveness I can do on my own. There are other parts of forgiveness I cannot do unless both people are working together. And those parts require some honesty about the situation we find ourselves in. So there's sacrifice. And these two ifs, if another believer. Note, by the way, here's how this works, the if another believer part. I have not tried to sit down with him and explain to him why what he did was wrong. Why would I do that? Why would I expect some random guy, just because he does construction, to agree with me about what's right and what's wrong? I have no expectations that he would agree with me. So when he stopped responding to me, I sent him a certified letter, and now that's going to be the court that arbitrates between us. Because when you don't have Jesus, sometimes all you have left is the court. Right? Like, you need a third party. And so that's the route we're doing. But wouldn't it have been, like, kind of silly for me to explain ethics and morals to this contractor guy? And yet sometimes in our personal lives, this is what we want to do. We want to sit down the person who has no sense of a relationship with Jesus and help them understand why what they did was wrong. This is useless. But anyway, so there's these two ifs. And the thing we need to acknowledge, and I really want to make sure we deal with this, is that forgiveness is hard. It is painful, and it is time-consuming work. That is why these followers of Jesus, immediately upon asking this question and hearing this teaching from Jesus, they're like, boy, Jesus, you want us to really forgive? You want us to forgive like that? You want us to forgive in a way that acknowledges reality and like brings up all this junk that I have to deal with myself and then brings up a whole bunch of junk that I have to deal with in a relationship? You want me to do all of that? You need to increase my faith really bad. That is a great response. And Jesus says, no, no, you've got enough faith. You've got enough faith. You can be confident. There's certain things. Faith is a fancy, spiritually sounding word for confidence, right? There's certain things you have to be confident of if you are going to forgive. I don't know that I got all of them, but I was sitting here today thinking about what do you need to be confident of? What do you have to have faith in order to forgive? I have to feel confident that I am safe if I'm going to forgive others. Not just physically safe, but I have to be confident that I am emotionally safe, that I'm going to be okay if I'm going to forgive others. I have to feel confident that I am worthy in order to forgive others. I have to feel confident that I am loved if I am going to forgive others. And as I think about all of those things, I think to myself, what I really need is I need to know that I've got God if I am going to forgive others. Because at the end of the day, the only way I can be confident that I am safe, confident that I am worthy, and confident that I am loved is to know that regardless of how any other human being treats me, and regardless of my own successes and failures, there is a God who accepts, values, and loves me, and that that is an unchangeable reality about the universe itself, that it is written into the very foundations of the universe, in the deepest of deep places in our world. It is fundamental to the nature of the universe that God loves me no matter what. And if I can grab hold of that in a way that like isn't just words, but like changes the way I stand on a hard day, like changes my posture, I can forgive. Not quickly, and not always easily, and certainly not alone, but I can forgive. And that is what we are challenged to do through sacrifice, because, and this is true, when we sacrifice in the area of forgiveness, it opens our hearts and spirits up to a new encounter with God that we could not have otherwise. It opens our heart and spirit up to a greater sense of freedom, a greater sense of hope, a greater sense of what the future can hold, all because we have learned what it takes to be able to forgive. Not just because we've forgiven, but because we've learned how to be the people who can forgive, which so often demands that we become different people.